Experience, repeat, discover. Experience, repeat. You are listening to Fly here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Melissa Rodway, and today I have Ilaria and Peter joining me via Zoom from Italy. It has been a couple of years now. I spoke to Peter last time, and it's great to reconnect. We are going to talk about COVID-19, the impact on Italy, but before we do, let's have a refresh about your business. So first of all, welcome back to the show, Peter, and welcome, Ilaria.
Thank you.
Yes, it's so great to have you here. It's an interesting time because in the past I was always doing these interviews in the radio station and I didn't really see people. So in some ways it's been great because I'm doing all of these interviews through Zoom and now I'm looking at everyone. So good things come from COVID-19. So a few years ago, we talked about this very unique language school that you run. It's called International Academy Antonella. That's my anglicized version of your school.
This is very well done. Very good job.
Thank you so much. So this is a very unique language school. It's in central Italy. I'm going to try this in the town of Ascoli Piceno. Is that right?
Ooh, very good.
Whoa, wow, look at me. So this is a school combining classes in Italian language, culture, music, and even medieval history due to the town itself. It's a medieval town. And you mainly appeal to students who are getting college credits, but I think pretty much anyone from around the world can attend your school. I could be mistaken. You tell us a little bit more about it. That's my recap, but tell listeners what it's all about.
Wow, Lisa, first of all, thank you so much for having us back on the program. We're really excited about this idea to give a first eye opinion about what's happening in the travel industry in these difficult times. But I think the travel industry, especially Italy in and of itself, has a really strong ability to adapt itself to the changing industry. Italy has a long history of tourism, hospitality. So the ability to move ahead in difficult situations, I would say, is actually a positive thing that Italy has. And in this time, like you said, you had to adapt to your way of having interviews. We've also adapted some things that are happening here in Italy, especially restructuring a little bit of our program. So we do still offer the key components, like you said, with Italian language, medieval culture, art history, but IAA, or International Academy Antonella, has actually joined a larger group, which is the Center for Intercultural Studies. Basically, the union of these two created a cultural association that has the ability to work with, and has already started, the city council and other public industries.
So did you create that relationship with them before all of this happened, or this has come about because of COVID-19?
This has come about because of COVID-19. Just before COVID actually really started putting restrictions on travel and daily lives, this idea was blooming to expand the ability to work with public entities. And we needed an association base, which allowed us to get partners to join in on the program. And when COVID came, it was almost like it started rolling that ball for us, because the only option was working together. And it's interesting because a lot of the vitality, I would say, that you see in Italy today is people coming together, maybe in a digital way now, but almost in a stronger sense than they were before. So the association of IAA and also the Center for Intercultural Studies really underlines this fact of how people, and Italians in this specific manner, are coming together, building something that, like you said, can be a positive thing.
So what are the changes then, again, that will come about from this partnership?
The main changes are an expansion of services. So one of the nice parts is there's still the academic credits that students can get from coming to International Academy Antonella. And when they come there, they can choose to be a part of, or not, other cultural programs which are open to tourists, guests, other groups that are looking for an experience that's not strictly tied to the scholastic endeavors.
Now with COVID, which we started this this new project just 3 months ago, just before the COVID-19 came out. So it was difficult at the beginning, but now we are motivated to bring this forward, and I think we go well.
Let's talk about what it's been like in Italy, because from an outsider's view, Italy has had a hard time, and I'd love to hear about what it's like to be living in Italy over the past few months. So you're in central Italy in this amazing medieval town. So what has the experience been like for you?
I think it's the same for everyone, whether in the United States or you're in Europe or in South America, you have these small restrictions, which if you take them in stride on personal level, you can get through. And when you see everyone working together, that's really important. The business aspect, of course, has been really difficult because the restrictions have basically put an entire block on tourism coming from other countries that's not Italy at the moment. We are slowly moving out of that. In fact, on the 18th is the second phase of the reopening within Italy. And our government's working strongly. In fact, one of the things that I thought was interesting is often you hear Italy was so vulnerable, or Italy was hit harder than other nations, and we have to think why. In my opinion, it's a really good question. However, I almost see the other side of that, which is how is it possible that Italy responded so well? Being one of the first countries outside of China to actually affront this virus when everyone at the beginning was thinking, well, it just looks like a pretty tough flu. And as we were learning how contagious and how difficult it was, the Italian government really did miracles. In fact, the president of the European Council, Charles Michels, actually hailed Italy for his response. He wrote a letter to the president of Italy saying, at a time when some may have underestimated the scale of the threat, Italy has shown foresight, unity, and resilience. I think that really shows a lot about how deep the culture is here to affront something like that all together. And one of the mottos that you see a lot is, we can do it, everything's going to be okay.
When the restrictions first came out, were Italians following them? What was that like?
Everyone was following. And it was so strict that we couldn't do anything different. Only following the rules, and we recognized the problems. And also it was very scary because the situation was out of control. So we just even chose to follow the rules when we couldn't choose at the beginning, before all of this come out, or the restrictions. We just avoided most of the people avoided to go to restaurants just I think 2 weeks before everything happened.
Yeah, yes. And I think it was also pretty strict there in terms of you were only allowed to be 200 meters from your house. Is that right?
So at the beginning, yes, there were some very strict restrictions in what they're calling the red zones in northern Italy, for example, Bergamo and places like that. People were restricted even to their homes. One of the things that I think is really important to understand is the medical system in Italy really offers the opportunity for people to have access to whatever they need. For an American, at least for me, it's incredible. You can walk directly into the doctor's office and sit down and talk with the doctor. I think what I'm trying to underline here is that because it was so available to everyone, everyone had the ability to also get tested. And all these tests that were coming back that perhaps in other countries where the medical system isn't so nice or available to all of its participants, some people would have gone unnoticed. So people that were tested positive were self-containing themselves to their homes. After that became a legislative act that you had to, which is important. I don't know if you've ever been to Italy. I can't remember.
I have been to Italy twice. Yes.
So if you've ever seen a line in Italy, it seems like Italians can't organize themselves very well. However, when it's important, they're really serious and really effective. We also had the strange global phenomenon of manic joggers, people that just had to jog. But besides that, everyone followed the rules and we got through it. In fact, the efficiency of Italians following the rules really led to a phase one of the reopening that's a lot sooner than I think a lot of other European nations are going to be seeing.
Yes, because I was just reading, I think Germany is starting to open up, and the fact that you are opening up at a similar time was quite impressive to me, seeing as though you've had at least 30,000 deaths at this point. So that's quite a lot. And you were saying earlier, there is this sense of everyone just working together and, you know, recognizing humanity in all of this, and that we have to work together to make this go away. That's a really positive thing that has come forward.
That's a really positive thing. It was kind of difficult talking about the restrictions on a personal level. Italians are so used to being with their families, and it's just such an artistic part of their being, and they really need it. So being forced to be separated, Ilaria saw her dad for the first time in 2.5 months, and you have to write a permission slip that's legally valid, showing where you're going, where you're coming to, and what your motives of that visit is. So there's some controls just to make sure that things are done right. But that's slowly going away, and on the 18th is the second phase, and we're really excited about that because our numbers are showing really positive results. The people who are contagious are always going down. The death numbers have gone down significantly since last month, for sure.
So, Ilaria, what was that like for you to see your dad?
It was amazing. It was very strange because we didn't know what to do. We have to maintain the 1 meter distance one each other, so we didn't know what to do. But, of course, we hugged each other, even with the mask. But we did, because it's impossible to maintain distances in these times.
Yeah, for sure. So to physically go and see your dad, would there be cops on the street to monitor the address you said you were going to? Is that how it works?
Absolutely. So you may or may not be stopped, but there are police checks, especially going in and out of the major city centers. Even our city, which is about 50, 60,000 people, you would have police controls. And they would just ask you where you're going, what you're doing, and if you have an honest motivation for going there, and it's not just something that's unnecessary, there's no problems.
So your business is interesting because Italy is opening up, which means that perhaps Italians can travel around Italy if they want to. No one's going into other countries at the moment. But you appeal to the whole world. So what will you do in the short term? Because probably travel is not going to happen like we would like it to for a while. So how will you combat this?
That's a really good question. And we've thought a lot about it. One of the major things that we need to do, which is what's happening with Italians and I think with other citizens of other countries, is that people are coming together. And the Union of International Academy Antonella and the Center for International Studies actually shows that this is really what we need to do. We need to create a strong network locally that can affront the changing situation of the tourist industry. In my opinion, one of the most beautiful things that's going to come out of COVID is reduced traffic. And I think reduced traffic to particular areas actually increases the experience. And lately, we've seen a lot of interesting tactics here in Italy, and it's not one of the only examples, but in Venice, which, of course, everyone knows is an island here that's attached to the mainland. It's an artificial island that was made, and it's very, very heavily trafficked. So much so that they put a quota on the amount of people that could come in. And once you reach a certain level, the city was closed for the day.
That's great.
So was an interesting way to build some tax dollars, but also to reduce the stress on the environment, whether it's workers or direct natural environment, but also to increase the experience of people that are coming to these places. In fact, one of the main goals of CIS is to give people this real experience that is close to a natural Italian experience that you could have, whether that be studying the natural art of the 15th or 16th centuries, or learning how to make pasta and bread in the 21st century. So one of the things that we are doing to branch out and make ourselves more versatile in this period is we're actually working on a bed and breakfast business. So still in the tourist industry, but for more of a local environment, where we do a lot of the cooking. Laria's famous, in my opinion, for making Italian sauces. We participate in programs with different local artisans who, many of them are our friends, but our colleagues on a business level, who teach these specific artisan programs, whether it's making sourdough bread from scratch, ceramics, baskets, looking at art, working with stone. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those we're trying to incorporate in our bed and breakfast project, where we have a biodynamic garden where the vegetables are coming directly from the garden that are being supplied to the bed and breakfast. Certainly not a stranger to a lot of American bed and breakfasts that are connected to nature and gardening. But it's underlying how important even the smallest figure, or sometimes seems a small figure of a community, like a worker or a farmer who carries on that tradition of things that might be forgotten in the classroom. So getting out and having the firsthand experience not only gets you in touch with these sort of secrets of the tradition, but it also imprints you in a way that you can't forget. So the fact that this can happen, and now that it must happen with less people, I see as a positive thing, especially for a business like ours, which is centered on that idea.
I love how COVID is actually causing people to recreate themselves and reinvent themselves. And that's such a beautiful idea. I love that. I think also it's causing a lot of us to go back to simple things, right? To growing our own vegetables and to just rediscovering the joys of a simpler life.
I absolutely agree. And those are some of the basic principles of what we want to offer people who decide to participate in our program, whether it's as a guest and doing kind of a more tourist type of adventure, or actually hitting the books and getting some academic credits, but still having this self-discovery, which, like you said, COVID has really sparked inside of us. We're curious now to see who we are, not just as individuals, but as nations and as a global society. Mm-hmm. And now more than ever, we see how connected we are. Mm-hmm. Where just seeing a person could be something that changes your entire life.
And so will this bed and breakfast appeal to Italians for now until international people can come your way? Do you think it will work?
I think it will definitely work. Something like this is really an item that Italians are starving for at the moment. Many Italians, and similar to any country, of course, but speaking of the country where I live, that were confined to a very difficult COVID were city dwellers, people that were in apartment buildings, and now they're really thirsty for getting an experience out in nature, for doing the so-called sunbathing or forest bathing that just really psychologically cleans you and allows you to be open to the beauty that's in front of you. Whether it's your family, your culture, or the environment. And in my opinion, we have a place here where people can make that reconnection, self-discovery, and use it to advance their lives, whether it's part of their university career or just part of their life path.
I agree with you. I think people are not looking to go to big cities in the near future. They do want to be where there's more space, there's less people. I think that's a very positive thing. I was in Europe last summer in July and August. It was crazy. the amount of people in Prague and everywhere we were, I couldn't believe it. Now that we're all doing all of these amazing conversations through Zoom, is that something that you would also implement if, say, a student from North America wanted to learn Italian from you? Is that something that would be possible?
Well, we've been looking at doing some options with this. At the moment, we're not able to move forward because our main location of the school is in the center of the town. But our offices are outside of the town where we have the bed and breakfast and the gardens, and the internet connection isn't high quality. However, when we go back to the city, so in a month or two, this option I think would be fantastic. Also because we can possibly get it inserted into scholastic curriculums, perhaps at schools where they study Italian and want to practice their listening, or they're speaking with a native Italian speaker, and we could connect them directly through Zoom. Also in a bilateral sense, where we could get Italian students partnering in my time, they called it a pen pal. Now I guess it's a keyboard pal.
I'm not my sure time yet. Too.
Having an intercultural pen pal that, in my opinion, is one of the most interesting and magic things that a person can do, especially at an adolescent age, communicating with somebody from another country at a time when you're really being sculpted into a person, to have an experience of understanding is something that I think every developing person can use, and probably every adult as well.
Absolutely. I was talking to somebody in Germany, and she was telling me how there are so many restaurants and hotels in Europe that may just end up shutting down completely, or they refuse to open this summer anyway because half the summer will be gone by the time restrictions are let go, and it's not worth their time or their money. So what do you think about this coming summer? How does that make you feel? Does it make you anxious? Or
so I see this summer as being very positive for us, especially with a lot of Italians that are coming hopefully to our bed and breakfast. I'm already projecting into the future that they will be coming to our bed and breakfast, which is interestingly also a good way to network depending on who comes and stays at the bed and breakfast. That also being said, is we're having time to practice with these new integration tactics. So we were ready last November to bring students here. We had some students enrolled, and that was one of the hardest parts, is we had to ask them to postpone their enrollment because of this particular virus. So for me, this summer, I think is going to be a really positive thing for the Italians, because it's like we're coming to train on a job, and we're training with our own countrymen. So it's good. We'll have the time to practice, to adapt, to fine-tune everything. And then by the time the second wave of tourism comes and we're ready to handle international tourism, we already know how to make sure that all the tourists are safe and that they're having an experience that's going to be something they're going to remember.
That's amazing. You're using your time very wisely, it sounds like. Did any of this ever give you a thought that you would like to do something totally different? Was there ever a thought like, okay, this is done, what's plan B? Or were you always determined to just keep moving forward?
Well, I'll tell you, a few times that idea of the great American novel comes into your mind when you just have hours and hours at home and think about some other option. But interestingly, when it comes down to what we're really passionate about, and also our plan B shows this is true, is the area that we're in, the culture that's around us, and the ability that learning another culture and using that to see yourself and learn who you are and how to be a global citizen for us is extremely important. And the idea that we're now in what I would kind of consider a green oasis, even though we do have a city of 60,000 people, puts us at a strategic advantage, because people are looking for that kind of immersion. They're looking for, I think, also a way to mentally clear out this heaviness that COVID brought us, where you kind of have to be a little bit worried about another person. Here, when we have everything set up in place and we're moving efficiently, we can certainly bring back the warmth that people are looking for in a culture, but also in a community.
Oh, I love it. I love all the positives that have come out of this for you guys. It's really important for people to hear. Everyone handles it differently. Some people, I think, don't know what to do with themselves. And there are other people that are using it as an opportunity to grow and change. And in some ways, it's a gift. We just have to take advantage of the time and make something of it. Peter, you alluded to this a few times, and I think people will be surprised to hear that you are originally from California.
Oh, yes, that is correct.
And then some of your time was also spent in Maine in the States as well.
That's correct.
Do you still have family in the U.S.?
I do, yes. I have a brother and sister in San Diego. I have two sisters in Tahoe. I have a sister in Wisconsin.
Whoa.
I have a brother that lives in Maine and two sisters that live in New Hampshire.
Are there more?
yes, I have a brother who lives outside of the U.S. in New Zealand.
Wow, I've lost count. How many are we at here?
Enough.
And so how does that feel for you? I don't know how often you come back to North America anyway, but how does it feel right now to be kind of stuck in Italy for a while, for the foreseeable future?
Well, for me, except for not seeing my family, it's fantastic. I would be stuck here forever.
Right.
And just have my family come and visit me.
Yeah.
That being said, I also love the United States. In Northern California was where I was originally born. So in the heart of the Redwood Empire, very nice area on the Pacific Northwest. Also in Maine, where I spent another half of my adolescence, was a really important area full of nature, national parks, very, very beautiful. But for me, I think it goes back to what I was saying we have to offer is the ability to discover yourself, looking at differences in other cultures and maybe even appreciating the important things about your own culture that maybe you didn't realize and you just took for trivial because that's the way it always was. And you start to appreciate a little bit more. So even though I honestly appreciate the United States and living there, I think I'm still discovering myself here. And at the moment, it's a great place to be. And I really want to share that with other people so they can start having similar experiences.
Absolutely. I think you're in the right place at the moment. Okay, we are going to move on. This is a segment called On the Fly. Did we do this before? I don't think we did.
I don't think so, but I like it. It sounds like a game show.
It's kind of like a game show. So these are 8 questions that I will ask you, and you can decide who wants to answer them. So this is all about travel, your habits, your bucket list items, and all that fun stuff. Are you ready?
Already? Do we have to bring a buzzer?
Nope, not this time, but maybe next time. Okay, here we go, on the fly. Number 1, what and where was your first trip that gave you the travel bug?
Wow.
This is difficult to answer. I think in Ecuador, when we went to Ecuador, our trip, we joined like a voluntary program. And that was amazing, just changed it's my mind, the way to see the world and made me think what I wanted to do. So not only travel, but experience a real culture and just to be involved 100% with people, traditions, history and everything. So. That was mine.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Peter?
Well, I have always loved traveling, I have to say. And I grew up, as I said earlier, in California and Maine. And every year I would actually switch. I would stay for 1 year in Maine with my father. And the next year I would go to California and stay for 1 year. Eventually went to 7 different elementary schools in this changing process. And when I was 10 years old, and my brother was 11. We took a Greyhound bus from Northern California to Maine.
Wow.
Only the two of us. And at that time, they didn't have direct long buses from big cities to big cities. It took 5 days zigzagging from north to south across the country. And I can tell you that this idea of just being completely open to this enormous country left such an impression on me. And seeing slowly and agonizingly for my ankles, which were exploding inside of my socks by the time I arrived 5 days later in Maine, seeing people who luckily were taking shorter journeys and trying to imagine that every person that came onto that bus had a different cultural story, a different cultural awareness, a different perspective on life. And it seemed so intriguing to me that I really couldn't stop.
Wow, that is pretty amazing at that age. And that was, I'm going to guess, pre-internet also. So you feel like you could check in with anybody. Wow, brave. That's cool. I love that. Okay, number two, I bet I know the answer to this one. What country do you think has the best food?
This has caused a lot of trouble between European nations, I hope you know.
Let's hear it.
This question is a loaded gun, especially if you're near a border town.
Uh-oh.
So in my opinion, you know the answer. It's Italian food. It could be because I have a certain palate for it, but I think I'm fairly objective. And in my opinion, it's the best. Throughout Europe, you will see variations that are slightly different from one region to another. And that's certainly what you see in Italy. It has obviously a long history before the Union of Italy and how things progressed through the Middle Ages. But there are these little pockets that have an identity within an identity. And Italians are so clever that someone from another region, if they taste your pasta sauce, they know where you learned to make the pasta sauce, which particular region you learned, of how it was cooked, when the spices were added in, or which ones were left out. And they're almost always right.
Wow, that's amazing.
A country that pays that much detail to food, I think the results probably speak for themselves.
Okay, Ilaria, what do you think? You are Italian, so I want to hear what you think.
I like Italian food, but I also like Mexican food.
Oh, me too.
So, I don't know. It's a difficult question.
It is a difficult question. Mexican, that will do. That's good. Number three, what essential item do you bring with you on every trip?
For me, that's really easy. There's only one item that I have to have and nothing else matters. And the trip will be a success.
What is that?
My wife.
I knew you were going to say that. That's so nice. Okay, Ilaria, what's your essential item?
My essential item is Italian vocabulary.
Ah, very good.
It's small, but I don't have to forget my language. And I like words, so just something that I like a game.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, that's a good one. What is your best travel tip to pass on to others? Question four.
Mm-hmm. My travel tip is don't be fixed to a certain goal or a certain itinerary. Have a general idea of what you would like to see or what you would like to do, but allow the magic of the moment to enter in a little bit. Because when you allow other possibilities, then you can open up to seeing something or someone that's not particularly planned for. And oftentimes that leads to really interesting conversations or experiences.
Number five, is there a certain item or souvenir that you look for on each trip when you are traveling?
Well, you probably guessed by now, but I'm a hopeless romantic. So for me, is a really nice photo with smiles. That's the only souvenir I'm really looking for. If I could capture in a photo the happiness of an experience and be able to share that with other people, obviously that's very easy, then for me, that makes it so much more meaningful. So giving that emotion that the trip has to offer and appreciating it.
I like that one. Ilaria, what about you? Do you buy anything?
Depends. So if someone gives me something, and when you travel, you meet a lot of nice people, but sometimes just give you a little thing. And that's for me, it's a lot. It means a lot.
I like
it's the best souvenir.
Yeah, for sure. Number six, what is at the top of your bucket list? So this can be an adventure, a destination, an experience, anything you want.
I love these questions. This game show is... So we've actually had a dream at the top of our bucket list, which is like, one of those dreams did you think... But you might as well have the dream, because if you never have the dream, it could never come true. So we'll just have it because we would like to, is to go to Antarctica.
Oh, yeah. That's
a good one. We really like to go to Antarctica for a number of different reasons. There was a documentary by Werner Herzog, and he showed a scientist working there who at night laid his body on top of the ice, and his heartbeat reverberated in the icy ground across the ice. You could hear it beating in the ice from a long ways away, like the railroad train and the cowboys, you know?
That is a very interesting experience to have. Okay. Do you share this, Ilaria? Is this okay? All right. Number seven, where were you last and where were you supposed to be going next?
Where were you? I don't remember last time we went somewhere.
So the last time we went somewhere, we actually went to a really interesting church called the Church of the Saint Pilgrim. And inside this are incredible frescoes from the 11th and 12th century. It's in the Abruzzo Mountains, which is very close to here. It was actually founded by Charlemagne as he was coming through Italy. And it was a place, like many monasteries, where people go to get some water or some medicine. It's now called the Sistine Chapel of Abruzzo for how amazing the interior frescoes are on the walls. Every inch of the chapel is painted and decorated. And immediately after, we went to a waterfall, to an underground waterfall. You have to enter in through a cave. Here, there's a lot of travertine marble and there's a lot of tufo, which is rock that's really limestone. It's not very porous, so when it rains, water just flows right off the top or underground. And within Ascoli Piceno, there are probably 200 waterfalls within a 20-minute drive.
Oh, wow.
Small, but all of them are equally beautiful. This one underground was amazing. And as we came out of the caves, seeing the crystal stalactites, we went down the mountain to a truffle farm where the guy grows his own truffles, rolls his own pasta, and he continually walked around the table shaving truffles for 45 minutes. He never stopped. He just continued walking around, making jokes with people. Everyone was laughing. And he was shaving truffles onto your plate.
It was an experience.
Yes. It was great.
Do you travel around Italy quite a bit?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
As much as we possibly can. And that certainly is one of the other difficult parts of the restrictions put on by COVID. But on the 18th, we should be out of that and have more freedom to drive around. But the interesting part is in Italy, anywhere you go in any direction, within 30 minutes, an hour tops, you can find something really interesting.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. And you are in the center, right? That's where your town is.
Yes.
Located. So what is the closest city to you?
So the closest city that most people will be familiar with is Rome. Usually where people fly in, we are at the same latitude, just on the opposite seaboard. So you have to pass over the Adriatic Mountains to arrive there. It's only 3 hours by bus, so it's not extremely far. And then other cities, of course, Florence is only 4 hours away. You can get to Bologna in 5 hours, Naples in 4 hours. Or quite close to many things. And there are also smaller airports near us as well. So we have our privacy, but there's certainly ways to get to us.
That's great. You are right in the middle. And did you have any future travel plans lined up for this year that you had to let go of?
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-oh, that sounds sad.
In Italy, and maybe because I'm paying attention here, but probably also in the United States, people like to get married in the summertime. Oftentimes, they're years in advance, 1 year minimum, 2, 3, 4 years planned. And this summer, even though they were allowed, at the beginning, it wasn't sure what was going to be allowed. And they're still not sure how many people can come or if you can hug or kiss your family. So, of course, a lot of people decided to wait. This included a cousin of ours who lives in Sardinia. So that would have been very interesting to go to. We're still holding on to a possibility to go somewhere in Sicily.
In a small island called Pantelleria.
Oh, wow. That sounds nice. Just however you said it sounds nice.
Yes. I think we've never been, but we would like to go this summer if we can.
So, Peter, you've lived here since 2006 in Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And together, do you feel like there's still a lot more of Italy that you haven't seen all these years later?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not even 10 lifetimes would be enough to see everything that there is to see here. This year, during Carnival, or many people know it as Mardi Gras, because that's one of the European carnivals that's celebrated still in the United States. During this time, there are a number of local ceremonies. And one local ceremony from Ascoli, about 20 minutes by car, has much, much different atmosphere than in Italy. Than in Ascoli. And that being said, probably 60% of the people in Ascoli didn't know about this festival. Now with Facebook and Instagram, you can localize positions and information is getting around a lot faster now. However, with these small cities where they have these interesting, almost lost traditional parades and expressions, the things that they do that they've been doing for many, many years. For example, in this town, the husband and wife, which are traveled behind by an entire band who wears kind of a Christmas tree looking hat on their head, is being pulled in chains by the devil.
Wow.
And every 10 minutes you stop and there's homemade wine, homemade bread, cheeses.
Nice.
You eat, you talk, you dance, start again. This goes for about 2 hours. And then at the end, everyone dances together and everyone's happy.
Oh my goodness. I have to get back to Italy. It sounds like way too much fun. More fun than I'm having sitting here in Toronto. Okay. Are you ready for the big finale? Fly, discover, experience, repeat. This is the Fly Travel Radio mantra. So if you could add a word after discover and experience to reflect how you feel about travel and adventure, what would you say?
I would say passion and curiosity. Two things which are essential for happiness and life.
I love it. Ilaria, same.
I would say courage.
Oh, I like that one.
And freedom. Yes.
Ooh, these are great words between the two of you. No wonder you're married. You're smart together. Is there anything you would like to share with us further before we go? I'm assuming you're still at the same website. It's internationalabroadprogram.com, or has that changed?
Actually, we've put it all under the Center for Intercultural Studies.com website.
When your bed and breakfast is ready to go, will there be information for that there as well?
It will also be a link on the Center for Intercultural Studies.com website for the bed and breakfast.
Excellent. So yes, if there's anything further you'd like to share with us about anything, this is your moment before we have to sign off.
Well, I think that this ability for us as a human species to take a step back, to realize that we can have what we want, but maybe not so fast, and try and do it a little bit cleaner. That being said, I think this is really going to allow us to appreciate our everyday life, our family, and the importance that that has in creating the social web that we call culture, where every single individual is not only participating in, but has an important role in, because only together can we create that fabric that can laugh together or can respond to an emergency situation together. And when we see that that is connected on a global level, where Americans, Italians, Chinese, and thus forth can really understand that we're in it together, have respect for one another, and still create value around the individual cultures, I think that's going to be the next step ahead as far as our global society.
There's a reason this is happening, I think, and we all need to take a step back and reevaluate. We can't keep going the way that we were going. It's killing the planet. It's killing ourselves. It's killing each other. So it's kind of a gift, as we've said before, and we need to realize that.
I think so as well. And as I do tend to look on the positive side and try and create opportunity from disaster, certainly do want to take just a second and give my condolences and heartfelt thanks to everyone who's working in the COVID emergency, certainly to all the families that have perhaps lost someone that they love in this pandemic. So that certainly is a black page in this. However, from those ashes and sorrow, we can learn a lot, we can move ahead, and I think we have the ability to do it. And now, even a stronger desire than before.
Thank you so much to both of you, Peter and Ilaria, for coming on the show today. What a pleasure to speak to you again. And I've really enjoyed our conversation. So thank you very much. And one more time, where can they find all of your great information?
Right now, the best place to find it is on our website. It is centerforinterculturalstudies.com. So all lowercase, all together, centerforinterculturalstudies.com.
Excellent. And thank you so much. Thanks again for being here. It's been amazing.
Thank you.
It's been amazing for us. Thank you so much. And certainly we hope to see you in Italy sometime soon.
You've been listening to Fly here on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm your host, Melissa Rodway. Thanks for tuning in.
Discover, experience, repeat. Discover, experience, repeat.
Fly.